The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel Jesus is preparing us and all of his disciples for his leaving, basically preparing them for his, not only his death, but also his resurrection and ascension into heaven, promising that he will send this advocate, this one that will be on their side to help them and strengthen them. That's kind of vague. It's kind of vague as to what this thing is going to be or how he's going to send this help to them. It's not going to be like Jesus, who's in front of them, speaking to them, doing all these good things. It's going to be this vague spirit. Or in the Old Testament that was used for spirit means the same thing as breath and wind. That they're real things, even if we can't see them, that we know when we don't have enough breath in our lungs, we can see the wind blowing things about, even if we can't see the wind itself. That's the image that Jesus invokes for the apostles, that there's going to be this ruach, there's going to be this breath and wind that's happening, even if they can't see it and touch it like they can see and touch him physically. We see what that looks like in the first reading when they go to preach in Samaria and these great things are happening. They're driving out demons. They're healing people that are paralyzed and sick. And it says there's a great joy throughout the city. Coming to know this new life of Jesus, this new life of the resurrection that we celebrate throughout the Easter season. But with that, the church and Christ are not finished with the people of Samaria. It didn't say that Philip just went and preached and did all these good things and they came to believe in Jesus. And so then the apostles walked away and washed their hands of it and said, "Well, good luck. Just do all the stuff that Jesus told you to do." It says that then John and Peter insist that they go up and visit from Jerusalem to pray and give them the Holy Spirit, to give them this breath and wind of God. Not just a vague thing to kind of hope that they'll be able to sustain this relationship with Christ, to give them the real presence of God, to give them this breath that will strengthen them and sustain them throughout their walk as Christians. Now, to us, it might feel a lot like it felt to the apostles in the gospel. This might seem like kind of a vague thing that's like, okay, the Holy Spirit's there somewhere, but we don't really know where and how, but he's there. But I don't think God wants it to be that vague. In fact, later on in the New Testament, Paul describes the fruits of the Holy Spirit, those things that mark the presence of God himself. He says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, gentleness, generosity, self-control, piety, and fear of the Lord. But those aren't just good things that God wants to give us or ways he wants us to be his followers. But they're actually like little indicators that God himself is present in those moments. That when we sense that love and that peace that can only come from him, when we're naturally drawn into generosity or self-control, Those are marks that that is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. To mark that the breath and the wind of God is present, even if we can't see it or even really define it or grasp it for ourselves, we can trust that it is there for us. In some ways, it's just a reminder that God is never quite finished with us. Not in a bad way, not that we're not good enough for him to be close to us, that there's always ways that we can imitate Jesus Christ more fully. There's always more ways that we can receive his Holy Spirit and walk with him. He's never quite finished, and we may not see exactly what he's drawing us towards, but he always wants to give us those fruits of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and help us on our walk towards heaven. So I was thinking of those fruits of the Holy Spirit. I thought how fitting it was that today we celebrate Mother's Day. That really those fruits of the Holy Spirit, nearly all of them, I think, could be attributed to most mothers. When we think of how they impacted our life with their love, bringing peace often to very chaotic situations, joy, self-control, and generosity, that those are often marks of a mother's love for us. For all the mothers out there, I know that's not as easy as it sounds or doesn't necessarily come in a snap, but it is the example of really a generous love that we experience here on earth. And in some ways, that love of our mothers is a first experience of God's love for us. That in many ways, our mothers are never quite finished with us. Arguably, maybe that might be frustrating to some of us as we get older and are adults and they still are needing to talk to us and tell us, well, did you take care of this? Did you take care? Yeah, Mom, I did that. But that's not just to nag us or to try to have control of our lives. It's because they, like the Holy Spirit, desire more good things for us. They see a great potential and a joy in the lives that we lead. And so they, much like the Holy Spirit, want to be our helper, our advocate, not doing those things for us or taking away our own wishes and wants for our lives. We need to help in strengthening us and always encouraging us to grow a little bit more. Hopefully growing more in that love that they first showed us. Growing ultimately in that imitation of the sacrificial love of Christ our Savior. So brothers and sisters, on this sixth Sunday of Easter, let us give thanks to God for the examples of our own mothers. The ways they were a living example of those fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully filled with God's breath and his wind to go out and do his work in the world. To bring that love and peace and joy in a way that only God's love can. Let's also pray that as we walk towards the celebration of Pentecost in a few weeks, we can renew our own commitment to the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with his goodness and love so that going out and imitating the sacrificial love of Christ, we can obey his commandments. Not just as laws to follow or things to do to keep us out of trouble, but instead to follow his commandments with that joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, emboldened by the advocate who comes alongside us, emboldened to grow each and every day in that generous and sacrificial love of Christ, our Savior.